Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for the confession of forgiveness and make use of the kneelers if you so desire. Found on page 95 is where we begin the confession of forgiveness. Page 95. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 and following. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Our hymn of praise this day is hymn number 876. We sing verses 1 and 3 only at this time. Hymn 876, verses 1 and 3, Let the Whole Creation Cry.
Lord be with you. And also with you.
We We pray together in unison the prayer of the day, as it's found on the first page of your worship and prayer, or readings and prayers bulletin insert, or the first page of the bulletin itself. We pray the prayer of the day together in unison as a congregation. And the word's not grand, it's grant. Typo, I did it. Grant. Let us pray. You are great, O God, and greatly to be praised. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant that we may believe in you, call upon you, know you, and serve you. Through Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Zechariah 9, verses 9 through 12. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore you to double. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 145, verses 8 through 14. If we could read it responsively. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and the Lord's compassion is over all that the Lord has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all the Lord's words and gracious in all the Lord's deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans 7, verses 15 through 25. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good, but in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. The Holy Gospel for today, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus speaks to his disciples and his followers, saying, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal the Father. Come to me, all who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Would you see? Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 10th chapter I have here, but it's the 11th chapter. I'm wrong. The 11th chapter. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight. You who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. You have heard this from me before in the past 15 years, but I'll say it once again. I am so proud of this congregation, and I don't say that lightly. I am so proud of this congregation. You know how to be the church, and you know how to be in community. This past week and a half, we dealt with three deaths. The first one, Monica Bethke. The second one, Kirsten Wetzel Knudsen. And then the third one, Nancy Miller. There were services for two of those three people, and yesterday there was a memorial for 2 hours in the afternoon for Nancy. This past week, we as a community were dealing with three major meals that Jesus would have loved to have been to. Tuesday morning, AF Daily Bread did their fourth, I think it is, right? Out of your head for me, fourth? Fourth, 4th of July, that's appropriate, fourth, 4th of July breakfast. They served over 700 people. I wasn't there because of circumstances otherwise, like my pillow and my mattress. You know me too well, right? No, I wasn't there, but they served over 700 people. I got to see a video, though. In fact, I got to see two videos that were taken during the morning of all the people that were setting up, back row, taking down, serving, and the like. Okay? Setting up, taking down, cooking, serving, and making the event happen. It's amazing how this community comes together when they are called to do so, and how you volunteer. That was the first meal of the week. Then the second meal of the week was the Bethke family funeral dinner. They knew better. Monica was buried out of her home church, the Roman Catholic Church, very appropriately so. It was packed. I think more people came to the funeral dinner than were in the sanctuary, but we served between 150 and 175 people.
They set up tables and chairs extra. Food had to be scurried for and found. And it was a good meal. And a lot of laughing and a lot of crying and a lot of support of community members, not just family members. And two churches coming together. I met Father Bruno for the first time on Thursday morning. He is a spitfire. We should just all go over to the Roman Catholic Church on Sunday and sit in the back pew and say, we're here. I'll tell you a secret, okay? I walked into the funeral. I didn't go to the visitation before for 45 minutes because I had been visiting the family for a whole week already. They knew who I was. I walked up and I sat in the upstairs with the Gehring family in the balcony. It was good. Okay, but as I walked in, I was dressed in my black and my cleric, and Father Bruno came from the altar all the way down the center aisle, and I could tell he was on a mission. So I kind of stood there, shook the hand of the mortician, and he goes, Pastor Beek, will you read the gospel? I almost wet my pants. I would have had to go home. Because three or four funerals back, the Lutherans who were in attendance at that funeral of a faithful member of our community, half of her family were Lutheran, our Lutheran, half the family are Roman Catholic. We were told we were not welcome at the altar. And the priest was being very matter-of-fact. We were not Roman Catholics in good standing. We weren't welcome to the Mass. Well, Thursday morning, we weren't having a Mass. It was simply a funeral service. And he said, I want you to read the gospel. I said, I'm not prepared to do so. 10 minutes before 11. I'm here at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning preparing for this moment. And in 10 minutes, he wanted me to do this thing. I said, I'm not prepared. He goes, it's just Matthew. And I had to laugh. I was like, well, there you go. And it was the Beatitudes, okay? So it's not as if there were any big words or anything like Nebuchadnezzar or Shalmaneser or anything like that. It's just Matthew, he said. I said, I am very honored that you would ask, but thank you. I'm not prepared. And he respected that. And I went in the balcony and sat with the Gehring family. I went and I sat next to him during the lunch then, the funeral dinner. And we talked for a little bit, not as much as I wanted. We have a dinner date now. He's from the Dolomites. Go home and look in your atlas and your national geography. From the Dolomites in Italy. And he's just a spitfire. I love him dearly. He's just amazing, amazing. The homily was great. The service was interesting. Ask me about the cemetery sometime. Oh my. We need to talk. And it's you and I, because you would understand. Yeah. Cemetery. Anyhow, it was good. The community came together, Lutherans and Lutherans, and Roman Catholics and Baptists, and there were many people in the kitchen. And then he was smart enough to have everyone applaud and say, thank you for this wonderful meal, before he left. Then there was the third meal, okay? And that was yesterday, afternoon and evening. Over 1,700 people were served. I guess last year they served over 1,800 people, but they said it was hot. It wasn't that hot yesterday. Over 1,700 people came to the salmon cookout, salmon barbecue, and supported our community and one another. And the miracle of miracles is that on Wednesday of this last week, one of our own, Dan New, underwent a two-procedure heart surgery, where they put two stents in his aorta that was 85% blocked. He said, Pastor, when I talked to his daughter on Wednesday evening after surgery, I talked to him then Saturday afternoon, and he said, I didn't feel any pain. It's wonderful. And I feel better than I have for a long time. And then he said, the doctor was really mad at me, though. He thought I was 74 instead of 94. Yeah. He said he probably would have done the procedure if he knew how old I was, but Dan knew, bless his heart, no keeping a good man down, right? Amazing. Amazing. And so he called some friends, he called me. I guess he was at the salmon barbecue with a relative. Yeah. Dan knew, after a double heart procedure on Wednesday, Saturday was eating salmon from Alaska. Man after my own heart. This past week, we dealt with a national holiday, the 4th of July, Independence Day. And I was so happy. You don't know, I am 64 years old this year. I've been through I don't know how many proms, at least 64, because every prom night and every graduation night, I sit by the phone waiting for the phone call. Pastor, there's been an accident. Pastor, we need you immediately at the emergency room right now. This 4th of July, my neighbors didn't set up. They did it the whole week before. They ran out of their fireworks, but no phone call. Nobody lost any fingers. Nobody poked out an eye with a sparkler or anything. It was wonderful. We came together as a community and we celebrated. This past week, we have dealt with heart surgery. I've already talked about it. Brain surgery. Two families in our congregation dealt with family members with brain surgery. Cancer and hospitalization of members. We dealt with the celebrations. We dealt with the grief of death. We dealt with being there for one another. After I did the funeral Friday afternoon for Kirsten Wetzel Knudsen and her family that joined in on that private event, I looked at my phone. I always look at my phone before I get in the car. I look at the phone when I get out of the car because I don't use the phone when I'm driving. I'm not that talented, and I don't have a co-pilot. Elizabeth Christian, some of you know this story already, Elizabeth Christian texted me and said, "Pastor, we need you at the emergency room at Portneuf right away. Come." I was in Pocatello for the funeral for Kirsten. So I jumped in the car, went to Portneuf. And indeed, her whole family, children were there. Joseph's first wife was there, and that family. And Joseph Christian was in the emergency room. That afternoon, they did three MRIs, because the first one didn't work. The second one was a train wreck with the diagnosis, and the third one was the same train wreck. Joseph Christian was diagnosed Friday afternoon with brain cancer, the size of an egg, in the back right-hand side of his brain, and he has 2 weeks to live. We hugged, we cried, we held hands, circled around the bed and prayed, and then he was going to be rushed off in an ambulance because he's chosen to go through surgery. The doctor said, "You can do surgery if you want, but there's only a 20% chance that anything will happen." So he and his family said, "We have hope." I said my goodbyes. I hugged the people who were able to hug me, including the kids in the waiting room, and I went on my way. I am so proud of this congregation because you know how to be the church when you have to be. And you know how to be community. And I wish more people were here today to hear that compliment. Because it's not just us ELCA Lutherans. It was the Shepherd of the Falls people that were there too. And it was the Roman Catholics and it was other congregations too, supporting these families in their time of need. We deal with one another when we have to and when we want to. And how we deal with one another and our actions can be like two things. When you throw a rock, I used to love to throw rocks into lakes and ponds, no matter how big they were. You know, Lake Michigan, I'd throw a rock in it, and I'd like to see the ripples. And you just stood there to see how long the ripples would, you know, you could see them. And I know scientifically that even when you can't see the ripples on the pond or the lake, they go all the way to the edge of whatever the boundary is of the land. That's what it means to deal with one another with our actions and our love, to be that ripple in the pond that affects other people. But also this week, we had the second thing. Sometimes life can be like a tidal wave or a tsunami. You know I love the Oregon coast. They now have tsunami warning signs all over where you get really close to sea level. I told my mother and sister, I said, "I want to steal one of those and put it in my bedroom. Tsunami zone, you know? This is a big tidal wave zone." Because it seems so cool until you're in the midst of it. It's not cool to have the tidal wave wash over you like the Christian family. It's not cool to have the tidal wave wash over you like the Wetzel family this past week. It's not cool to have the tidal wave wash over you like Larry and his family. Sometimes the events in our lives can be tidal waves and tsunamis. Sometimes it's just a little puddle or a pond. I can't pass a puddle without throwing a pebble or a rock into it and just watching it go. I love water.
They could not be more different than one another. John the Baptist, the bug-eating prophet in the wilderness, and Jesus, who is known to love a good meal with all kinds of company, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He would have been at the salmon barbecue and at the funeral dinner and at breakfast, 4th of July, Jesus, that is. John, who wears scratchy clothing made out of camel's hair on purpose, and Jesus, who wears a robe without a seam in it. John came neither eating nor drinking. Jesus came to the wedding dance, changing water into wine. Every meal was a party and a feast, and all were welcome. And they called Jesus a drunkard and a glutton. John, who shouts, "You brood of vipers, what did you come to see?" Jesus, who blesses the people at the Sermon on the Mount with the gospel reading that was read Thursday morning at Monica Bethke's funeral. The Beatitudes. Matthew 5, 1 through 12. It's just Matthew, Pastor. You can read it. I'll never forget that as long as I live. I hope I'm invited again into the pulpit at St. Mary's sometime, and that we can share that with one another. The Roman Catholic priest up in Montana and I did all kinds of funerals and weddings together. He was only 2 or 3 years older than me. We were both young and good-looking back then. They couldn't tell us what to do. We were mavericks. But he wanted to show that the 400 people in the town we lived in, and the 400 Roman Catholics, and 400 Lutherans, and the 2 Baptist families could all get along. And so we did funerals together, and we did weddings together, and if we would have done bar mitzvahs, we would have done them together too. "You brood of vipers, and blessed are you," Jesus says. John, who speaks the word of God, and Jesus, who is the word of God, they could not be more different than one another. God's ways can be both too little and too much for us, a puddle or a tsunami. God's agenda somehow simultaneously is too constructive and conservative and too liberal. Both of these messages, both of these men, are a threat to our autonomy, freedom, and independence. And how appropriate on Independence Day and week. What Jesus offers is not freedom from work, but freedom from onerous labor, from soul-sick weariness. Yes, it was hot in that kitchen during the funeral dinner. Yes, it was blazing hot over those cookout fires for the salmon, but it's the best fish I've ever eaten in my life, and I've eaten a lot of fish. Yes, it was a lot of work for 700 people to celebrate Independence Day with pancakes and sausage and eggs. And it took 2 days to cook the meal. I talked to the cooks. I know the inside story. Let alone setting up and taking down tables and chairs. Jesus' yoke means having something to do. It is about purpose in life that demands all of your best. It means work that is motivated by passion and desire to see God's kingdom realized. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Breakfasts and dinners and the like. And supporting one another. What Jesus offers is not freedom from work, but freedom from onerous labor, from soul-sick weariness. There is also the weariness that comes from having nothing to do. I shared with the Sunday school class this morning, my roommate in seminary is 3 years older than me. He retired 2 years ago at 65. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to do. He's going crazy in retirement. I said, get a hobby, play golf, knit a sweater, do something. He's remodeled his whole home on the outside last year, and he's remodeled the whole inside of his home. Flooring, carpet, paint job, floor to ceiling. He's gutted 2 bathrooms, well, 3 actually. He's on the 3rd one now. Because he just doesn't know what to do. For 37 years, he was a pastor, and he always had something to do, at least on Sunday morning, if not Monday through Saturday. Jesus' yoke means having something to do, a purpose in life that demands your all and your best. It means work that is motivated by passion for God's kingdom. And that may not be why everybody was setting up for the
Easter, the Easter breakfast. Yeah, you know where my mind is. The 4th of July breakfast or the salmon barbecue. But we came together as community. And hundreds of people were fed, not only physically with food, but with friendship. Dan knew needed to be there to show off that he's okay. Some people needed to be there to get a hug from a family member or a friend in the community because of what was said on Friday afternoon in an emergency room. You have done all this this past week. This past week, you've been amazing. And then front row, tomorrow we start VBS and we get to do it all over again. Woohoo! And hopefully we'll have 24, 25, 36 kids. And you're all invited to come and be a part of it, whether you signed up or not. This next 5 days, we will be the community. We will be the church. And not only kids, you know, 3 through 8th grade, but high school kids and college kids helping out. Hint, hint, you'll be mowing lawns, so you're out of it. But all of us old duffers, too, who learn just as much and care just as much for one another as those kids care for us. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." I read that at the beginning of the week, and then I read it yesterday and the day before, and I thought, come, Lord Jesus. We could use some rest right now. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls and your very being. For my yoke, my work is easy, and my burden and my work is light." Amen.
Thank you.
out your red hymnal and look up 712 and use it every day in your devotions. Gary Ferguson is my new favorite hymn of all time. It's just, the words are amazing. And I didn't really read them through fully until after the sermon, but it's amazing. Hymn 712. I was going to pick on Mackenzie. She's gone. Is she gone for good? Oh, she's coming back? I may pick on her later. I was going to tell her she's in charge of singing this year for Bible school. Tell her I said so. I won't say it. Yeah. That goes way back. Mackenzie and I have this long thing. The front row knows what's going on, but yeah, Hallie, Marie, and Mackenzie are in charge of singing. Yeah. I thought I scared her away. She was gone. Oh, my word. Yeah, she'll be back. Okay. Hymn 712. If you don't have a red hymnal, I will give you one as a gift. Okay? Take a red hymnal along with you. Hymn 712. Amazing words. For 4th of July, for death and dying, for celebration, for health and all the life. It's amazing. My new favorite hymn, Gary Ferguson. Glad you're here. I invite you to stand for the Confession of Faith, the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105, and for the prayers of the Church. We confess our faith in the same words of the Apostles' Creed, page 105. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and in hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today in the prayers of the Church, remember in our prayers in the Church, our bishops Elizabeth Eaton and Megan Manlove. We pray for our mission partner ministry this whole month of the St. John's Vacation Bible School program, and how appropriate because it begins tomorrow and ends on Friday, and you're all invited to be a part of it one day or all 5 days. We pray for the students, the staff, the teachers, the parents, and the families of these young people. Nationally and around the world, we pray for the war in Ukraine, the war in Sudan. And we remember all firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, and first responders in crisis. A prayer of joy, thanksgiving, and celebration. We celebrate all those who are travelers and guests with us in this community, especially for the Miller family reunion and Nancy Miller's memorial. We pray that their homecomings may be safe and happy ones. We continue to celebrate this week. It's amazing. I didn't have 4th of July off. I worked. But some people took 4 or 5 days off. And I guess that the interstate, Marion Heppel said, I-15, it was just packed with cars this morning. It's still the holiday week, okay? So people are sometimes taking 8 days off. It's amazing. We also celebrate with Dan New. I was hoping he'd be here today so that I could fet him and give him a hard time as I do some people like Mackenzie Long, but you weren't here to hear about it. Your mom will tell you all about it. I want to put the fear of God in there. You're in charge of music tomorrow at VBS. We've decided that. Yeah, Lacey and I decided that, so forget the lawn mowing in your summer job. She's blushing, I love it. You're in charge of music. You're leading the songs. I'll be there to help. Anyway, we celebrate with Dan New very, very much at his health and recovery. We also grieve and we pray for the Christian family. At Joseph's diagnosis, we pray for the surgeons and the staff at University of Utah Hospital that maybe miracles can happen. 20% chance, I pray for that. And then, due to death and burial this past week, we pray for the families of Monica Bethke, Nancy Miller, Kirsten Wetzel Knudsen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the Church and for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the Church. God of the covenant, you call ministers to proclaim your gospel of grace throughout the world. Inspire pastors and priests, deacons, church musicians, and all ministers of your word as they carry out your work. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. You reveal your goodness through all that you have created. Rivers, lakes, oceans, seas, streams, and puddles. For lands experiencing scorching heat, drought, or wildfires, especially Canada, Texas, and the Gulf states, we pray. For conservation organizations and environmental activists who care for your creation and fight for it. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You desire that all the peoples of the world live in peace and harmony. Guide government leaders at all levels, national, state, and local, to work and labor for mercy, liberty, and justice for all. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit. Especially we lift up the Christian family. Your steadfast love, grace, and mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. And give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church. Thank you for our youth, their families, and all those providing for our Vacation Bible School program this year. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially Kirsten, Monica, Nancy, and those whom we lift up before you in our own hearts and minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and new life and hope in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday this week to Brandon Roth, Jeffrey Galvin, Jesse Galvin, Shonda Bauer, Janice Carlson, Tim Miller, and Lynn Fogerson. Happy anniversary today to Sony and Mary Galvin. Happy anniversary this week to Larry and Holly Size and Connor and Susanna Edwards. The special congregational meeting will take place following worship today. This is a special meeting and vote to adjust our council, church council board from 12 members to 10 members. Please plan on staying after worship for a few minutes so this can be voted on. Thank you. We will do it immediately following the last hymn. So remain in the sanctuary. Go ahead and sit back down. Promise it won't be forever.
Madam President, I've made a decision. I'm the pastor. We're going to do the benediction, and then everyone will just sit down. We'll have the vote. Everybody will say, yay! And then we will stand and sing the final hymn. Okay?
Good plan.
So final hymn after we say, yay! Unless you want to abstain or if you want to oppose it, and then you're going to be nominated to the council.
Okay. St. John's Vacation Bible School 2023 Hero Hotline, Called Together to Serve God, will be held Monday through Friday this week from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. each day. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections or additions to the one found here? Nope. I invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn number 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, your mercy, and your steadfast love, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us in what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love and grace. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to rise with a great thanksgiving found on page 144. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We remain standing and prepare for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, found on page 146 in the front of the hymnal.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn 208, and the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Jesus, who is the Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Normally, we would excuse our guests and company, but Annans, I want to talk to you at coffee.